Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your black pants party.
And Jake Latondras.
I am bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line podcast. I'm Rocky LaFleur in the Duck South Mobile Studios in Gobbler, Missouri. On the other end of the line. Hey, you're in the mobile
Duck South Studios. I'm in the mobile. Yeah, the mobile
but
unit. Yeah.
You're in the place of all places, though. The mother of all mothers. The wonder of all wonders. Chula, Mississippi.
It's just as beautiful as you remember.
You know what? What
you know, why do they not? Why do they not have a monument of you here? Is there like a reason, or is that, or do you have to like, do you have to be past a certain age before they can do that for you?
Well, I'll tell you this: Sharky Ford brought it to the committee to put up a goat statue at the railroad crossing about 4 years ago.
Well, I was at that railroad crossing about 40 seconds ago.
And the people of the town, or the aldermen, they quickly voted it down. They're still looking for the SOB that hung that goat on the railroad crossing.
I have never in my life, ever, since that day, because I knew you for a long time before you told that story, and I have never since that day of you telling that story gone by there without just a weird grin just come across my mind. I never, ever look at that poor railroad crossing the same. It's funny, but it's tainted at the same time. Like, it's like, you just can't, you know, I don't know.
The day that I become a multi-millionaire, there will be a goat statue. A bronze statue at that crossing in Chula, I promise. When you buy your fried chicken at the Jitney Jr. across the street,
you're going to see it.
Walk
yep.
out and see the goat.
It's going to be right there. I like it.
Listen, a lot of people are thinking goat, greatest of all time.
No.
We're literally talking about a goat. I don't know where that podcast is. You got to go back and find it somewhere. It's somewhere last spring where I tell the story of the goat in Chula. And it's not like greatest of all time. It is a true animal. And how the paths of this goat in Chula crossed and became one of the greatest parts of Chula history ever.
I'll put it this way. If somebody's questioning whether or not they want to go dig it up and listen to it, we had to make sure that statute of limitations had passed before Rocky could tell this story. So if that gives you any more inclination of whether or not you need to go listen to it, then you need to go listen to it. But anyway, all right.
Hey, I'll tell you
I'm in the Delta.
Hold on.
Okay,
I'll tell you this, Josh. Right. Let me tell you this. I know people that have ran into Heath and Keith since that story's been told. My cousins and a lot of people listening to this podcast know who Heath and Keith Killebrew are. And they ran into Heath and Keith and asked him about that story. Now, I'm not going to say which one it is, but one of them will admit and laugh about it, but the other one denies it. Happened. It's worried that the statute of limitations have not run out.
Well,
hey, but I want to say this about Chula, and we'll go on from there. The greatest thing that comes out of Chula now is not the chicken anymore. It's the videos. The viral videos of the alligators coming out of the swamp.
Oh, yeah.
And chasing the Democrats.
Every year now.
Every
year now. Yeah, it's become a thing. I mean, that's a nationwide phenomenon. So, you know, you might pass through Chula and think nothing's going on, but if you want some excitement, yeah, roll through there about April or May. I can't say daily occurrence, but it's weekly anyway. If you've never been through Chula, Chula's pretty much a swamp. I mean, it's a swamp. And you know, the highest part of anything going through there is the road, and it's just all swamp, and alligators come back and forth literally through the gas station parking lot.
Giants.
Very often. So, but look, all right, first of all, you're in Missouri.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I really
there's
didn't.
There's not much excitement in that. Yeah, I promise.
Okay.
Yesterday was the biggest day so far. My group came back with a grand total, leading the lodge where I am, with 2.
Ooh. Well, I'll tell you this. You take everything you see in Gobbler, Missouri right now and subtract exponentially from it, and that's what's right here in the part of the Mississippi Delta I'm in at the moment. So, you know, you at least found something. I can't even find a Mossy Island special. And for those of you who don't know what that is, I can't even find shovelers.
Anybody to see any shovelers.
No, we can't. We cannot control what Mother Nature wakes up and decides to do. And we cannot control a bird that has wings. There's people who would argue against that, but you can't. So there's nothing to do about it. But
I told all my stories in the blind, or I told all of my stories yesterday, and there was no stories left to tell today. So I decided to go to Blyville to get a bunch of groceries for tonight and breakfast this morning. And I'll say this. As I'm riding all these back roads to get to Blyville, there's, you know, everywhere you look, there's a flooded field with a pit in it.
Yep.
I saw one duck, and it's a 15-mile drive in between here and Blyville, and one lone duck on all those acres of water. And the only thing that I could think about, and this may be the dumb... Listen, I'm letting you inside my brain for a second. But this is what came to mind. Because I looked and I slowed down and I looked at this one lone duck out in the middle of a rice field. Have you ever seen the movie with Will Smith in it? What's it called? I Am Legend. You ever seen that movie?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
It's he's Lieutenant Robert Neville. And he's in the town of New York City trying to find a cure for some kind of rabies or something that broke out in the human race. And there's not a lot of, I guess there's really no survivors. Well, every day he goes to the dock and he makes a call out on the radio, right? You remember that part?
Yep, every day.
All right, so I'm letting you inside my brain a little bit. So I'm looking at this one duck. I'm thinking to myself, is that Lieutenant Robert?
That's him.
Neville,
that's
the shoveler out there.
He's out there calling, going, "Where in the crap is everybody else?" Yeah.
I am Lieutenant Robert Neville. I'm the only survivor in Gobbler, Missouri. I am broadcasting on all frequencies. I will be at the south side of Road NN if anybody hears this. When the sun is the highest in the sky. I can provide food. I can provide shelter. Mm. If there's anybody out there, anybody, please, you're not alone.
That's what
I thought about. So I went and pulled that speech up to read on this podcast. That's what I was thinking about. That's how my brain works for all of you that listen to this podcast. That's how I think. I always think of movies first and bring it into a real-life situation. But I was thinking about that one duck sitting in the middle of the field. Man, what is he thinking? Is he the only one here? This is nuts. This is beyond absurd.
And it's not just there. It's also the bulk of Arkansas. It's the huge majority of the Mississippi Delta. It's a large, large part of Louisiana. Look, it's just odd. I mean, it's just odd. I don't know how else to put it. Is there a major front coming? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. but I don't know if
don't
this late in the game.
Pusher.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen from it, but we'll see. We'll see.
I'll say this though, Josh. This is one thing that I ran into somebody when I was in Blytheville, Arkansas, and we were visiting. I had some camo on, and he asked how I was going. I said bad, and he said, "Ah, don't worry about it, man. I was just visiting with one of the largest guide services in Northeast Arkansas, and I've heard of this place. They've been around since I've been around, since the mid to late 90s. They had 27 or 28 people in camp, he said, and they did, and he ran into him Saturday. Not a single group pulled the trigger.
Good gracious.
Zero ducks.
I don't mean to look, I don't know. I mean, I talk to regularly some of the biggest and well-known clubs in Arkansas and Mississippi, as well as constant contact with the landowners and people hunting public ground. And I mean, just the overall consensus is you know how there's charts, you know, there's low and then there's good, average, and then, you know, whatever, excellent, or, you know, however you want to look at it. Nobody has even reached average. Like, would say, yeah, it's just that, you know, you hear a lot of people say, you know, we have a 1-in-3 rule or a 1-in-5 rule, and what they kind of mean by that is 1 year in 5 years is going to suck. 1 year in 5 years is going to be beyond phenomenal, and the others are, you know, going to be good, going to be average. The thing is, nobody's even having a 1-in-5 bad year. It's worse than that.
All right, so in 20 years, I had 4 bad years at Mossy Island Outfitters. 4 really bad years.
This is
worse than all of them combined.
Yeah. And that's nuts.
Never, ever seen anything like this.
I don't know. I mean, and look, and I know we probably shouldn't, excuse me, I know we probably shouldn't go on so much about it because everybody's thinking and seeing the same thing we are. But it's just the current state of what's happening, you know, in the Mississippi Flyway and parts of the Central Flyway. I mean, it just is. It's just what's happening. But it's Mother Nature. It's a duck.
All right, well, you did have a good hunt this past weekend.
I did.
You took Waylon with you, which I thought was an awesome picture that you posted up. Tell me a little bit about the hunt in Texas.
Well, it was years ago. A mutual friend, I've got some friends and family in Texas, and a friend of theirs mentioned something about hunting, tech duck hunting in Texas. First thing that always came to mind was the coast. Obviously, everybody knows the Texas coast is great. It's consistent. It's awesome hunting. It's different. But I mean, that conversation hasn't even come back into my mind until about 4 months ago, I guess. And gotten to know a landowner out there. Phenomenal guy. Cannot say enough about the hospitality. Fantastic. He's not just the type of guy that says, hey, come hunt, and then you never hear from him again. You know, he's the type that if he tells you to come hunt, he's going to bug the crap out of you until you come hunt with him. And so it intrigued me because they have flooded timber. Not just, oh, when the water gets up, we've got a little slough and we call it flooded timber and hunt. No. I'm talking about thousands of acres in a long corridor, a couple hundred miles, where there is flooded timber. And just so happened there's, and yes, there's public land all up and down through there. There's a lot of private land up and down through there in this long stretch that I'm talking about. But this guy, his family, they own some property there. And
this is in Northeast Texas, right?
Yes. And so So I said, man, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. Let's put it together and do it. And I've been trying to get out there since Thanksgiving and just hadn't, of course. I mean, I guess everybody by this point knows, you know, we've had a baby since then and moved since then, or in the process still of moving since then. And so just had a lot going on. And finally, I guess it was like last Thursday, I'm sitting at my brother-in-law's house and we're talking. And my buddy in Texas says, man, I really wish y'all could come down. The weather's going to be great. You know, we still got some time left in season, blah, 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 because they're open until the end of January. So I looked at Bo, my brother-in-law. I said, look, it's not that bad of a drive. We'll leave whenever we can. You just want to leave Friday afternoon sometime, go over there. We'll hunt Saturday, Sunday morning, come back. He said, man, sure, let's do it. So I called my buddy in Texas, and I said, look, I mean, and here's the truth of it. I've been dying to take Waylon, my little boy, hunting all year long around here, around, you know, in Mississippi. And I've only hunted 3 or 4 times in Mississippi all year long. But I haven't taken him because I want him to, I don't have to go and kill a bunch of ducks, but I want him to go have fun. And I'm really dead serious not taking him because I was just like, I mean, it just hadn't been fun. And he'd been fun, you know, a time or two. But anyway, so I called my buddy in Texas. I said, look, me and my brother-in-law are going to come. I want to check everything out, make sure it's all good and a safe, controlled environment. I want to bring Waylon. He said, man, bring him home. I said, okay, sweet. So we go. We get over there late Friday night, get up Saturday morning, 10-15 minute drive to their farm, which is, and it's close, it's really close to a really big public land area there, which on a Saturday is a hunt day for the WMA, so the birds can be up moving, sunshine and woods, I mean, it's just everything. And I'm telling you right now, Rocky, I could blindfold you and take you there and pull the blindfold off and we're throwing out decoys, and you would not know you wouldn't know any different. It's true flooded timber. It's really cool because out there, especially in the particular spot we were, it's big live oak flats. So the trees don't get quite as tall as our big red oak or white oaks, but they have more, you know, outstretched big branches. But it's true big tall flooded timber. And man, we had a great hunt. We did. I killed one duck and I shot at one other one. And that was it. That was the only time I even picked my gun up in 2 days. I had more fun just being there with Waylon. It was cool too because we're in a completely different state, somewhere I never even thought about going, and hunting stuff that we're used to hunting and working birds where we're used to hunting it. It turns out we had another kid with us that was a nephew or cousin of another guy that went with us. And that kid, and we didn't know this. This was really cool. We did not know this until later that day that was only that kid. That kid hadn't even hunted but a handful of times in his life. He just started driving. And, you know, he sent a big long text to the landowner we were with later that day. And he was like, man, I can't thank y'all enough for letting me go. I've never gotten to see ducks like that. I've never got to hunt them in the trees like that. I've never been close to ducks like that. He's like, I've duck hunted. I've never gotten to see, you know, 4 or 5 people calling in sequence with each other. It really, really spoke to me on the type of people that are over there duck hunting. The duck hunting community over there is phenomenal because they didn't have to, invite 3 rednecks from Mississippi over there. But on top of that, they're constantly taking people who don't get to see things like that. And it was really cool. So let me say this. I was caught off guard a couple times while I was over there. One, we're standing there kind of a slow time in between ducks, and we're talking. And we got to talking about how big of a group, you know, you kind of hunt in normally. And usually with the guys I hunt with, there's rarely more than 4 of us. And they're kind of, and those guys over there the same way too. That particular morning there was 5 of us plus Waylon, but there was 5 of us. But anyway, I just kind of laughed. I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, the biggest group I've ever hunted with was the last time." And this is literally all I said was, "You know, the biggest group I ever hunted with was the last day we ever got to hunt the lake." You know, and my buddy that's over there, he's familiar with Duck South, the podcast, stuff like that. The other guys, I literally met them in the dark that morning, shook hands with them, and, you know, we're sharing a tree together. But I don't know, you know, I don't know them. I don't have any kind of relationship with them, nothing. I had met them an hour before this. And I said, yeah, I kind of laughed. I said, yeah, biggest group I ever hunted with, there was 9 of us, and it was the last time we ever hunted on the lake. And from like 20 yards down through the woods, I hear, hey, man, you talking about Mossy Lake? I listened to all those podcasts. And I went, do what? And Bo looked at me and he said, did he just say he listens to all y'all's podcasts? And I said, how in the world do you know about Mossy Lake? He said, oh, I listen to all y'all's podcasts. I have for a long time. And this is not the guy that we went over to hunt with. This is not the landowner. This is the guy, I didn't know him an hour before this. So then we had that to talk about the rest of the day. We talked about all the Mossy Island stuff. We talked about the podcast. We talked about the Duck South and all that. So I was like, well, man, that's cool. We're, you know, we're reaching a crowd. And the cool thing to that, too, and it's not just because my buddy is a landowner over there introduced this guy to the podcast. No, actually, my buddy is a landowner over there just started listening to the podcast, like, in the last month or so. I think when he told me. So this other guy had been listening to it long before that. And then, Rocky, I'll say this. We're doing something right. We're doing something right. Because that night...
Y'all hung a goat in a little town.
No, we spent the afternoon riding around and just seeing, you know, what that part of Texas has, you know, just has for scenery and wildlife and everything else. We go eat that night with some people that we know, some we didn't. I sit down, and across the table from me, with the people we're eating, this beautiful, somewhat soft-spoken, young blonde, sits across the table from me. Introduces herself.
I didn't say that, Roy-Ann.
Introduces kidding. Herself, looks me right in the eye, and says, I love y'all's podcast. What the heck you say? So we're doing something right.
With Rocky, I can hook you up.
So we laughed about that, and we had a good time. But yeah, I can't say enough about Texas. It is really cool. I would just like I told you earlier, and I've told a few people this since I've been back. I will be. It's not just talking. I will be over there 2 or 3 times a year in the winter from now on. It's consistent. It is so cool. It's a lot of timber, a lot of buck brush, a lot of marsh types. There's all kind of different places and situations you can hunt, private or public. It's really, really cool. You're going to probably at some point get tired of hearing me talk about it.
Well, there goes our Texas audience.
Because of how cool. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going into real specifics of where we were or anything like that for respect of landowners and I'll say this, we did hunt private land the whole time we were over there. We hunted some public, you know, to see something different, to do something different. But I will tell you this, Rocky, if you ever go to Texas without me and someone asks you to hunt what is known as the highway hole, don't ask questions that you don't want the answer to. Just say yes or no and go on about your business. And there's only about 6 or 7 people in the United States that are going to understand what I'm talking about. But I am one of the lucky few who have been able to hunt that now. I can say that. And I can say that I will go back and hunt it again. But it is really, really cool to go that far away and see something so different but yet so familiar. I mean, I didn't know any of those guys, never spent any time with them personally before that day. And, you know, when daylight broke that morning, you know, me and my brother-in-law and then these other 3 guys and you know, first bunch of Ducks come over, and everybody's automatically working in sequence to call Ducks and call the shot and communicate. I mean, it was just like, and it was like nothing ever changed. I mean, it was just, I mean, it felt like if I went and met you in the morning and we hunted, I mean, nothing, you know, it was that comfortable. I cannot speak highly enough of it. And how accommodating they were to Waylon, they loved it, which Waylon had a big time. You know, I sat there, he had he was sitting on a big dog stand, one of those Momar stands, and that was his area. You know, people might say, well, I can't believe you had that small of a kid out there and in the water like that. You know, full disclosure, if something would have happened and Waylon would have come off that dog stand, he could have stood up. It wasn't that deep. You know, but I put him up there for comfort. He sat there and he had his snacks and he had his duck call and you know, my my little boy, you know, the five of us, you know, five adults, birds start working, and this is the first time Waylon's ever been in that situation. Now, he's been hunting with me, but been in that type situation. So the first two or three groups that morning, me and Waylon stood off a little bit from the hole. I would, you know, I'd point up at the sky and let him see the birds, see them work, see them fall in, and see everybody shoot. So he had somewhat of an idea what was going on. And then as the morning progressed, every time all of us started calling the ducks, Waylon pick up his little duck call and just go to screaming on it. Sounded gosh awful. We didn't care. I mean, he was just right in the middle of five grown-ups just wailing on that call. Having a big time, you know, and he'd tell the dogs good job and tell me and Bo good shot. I mean, he was along for the ride, and he had a ball. And that was something those guys did not have to do. They could have said, man, you know, we don't know about bringing the kid, you know, things like that, but they didn't. They were extremely welcoming. And for that and a lot of other reasons, I'll be back. It's not just me talking. I will be back regularly.
Looked like a fun time from the pictures.
It was a really fun time. I mean, we laughed and cut up. Not that I don't like to duck hunt, because I do. I mean, that's not a secret. I do. I love it. But that trip relit the flame of a fire that was kind of dwindling down with me personally. Just to get in on a personal note, it really has the last few years, and not because duck seasons have been poor. I mean, heck, last year we had an awesome year, you know, here in Mississippi. It has nothing to do with duck numbers or who I hunt with or anything like that. It just, things have changed personally, It really, really, really relit a fire for me, and it was because and it was because my kid, you know, Waylon was there, you know. Now, you know, he may grow up and never go duck hunting again. All I can do is give him every opportunity in the outdoors I can give him. But being right there with him, and I wish I just would have had. I did take my big camera, but I did not take it hunting with us. I had it with us. You know, those pictures are beyond special to me. I don't need the pictures. I can remember every single thing about everything, and I always will. But to see a kid that little, you know, he didn't care how many we killed, anything like that. And if you notice in those pictures, I had that dog stand right up against a big live oak. I mean, right up against a big tree right there. And so Waylon could sit down, he could lean back against the tree or whatever. But when we would start working birds, Waylon got to the point where even if he was eating a snack or at some times, heck, I even took his iPad with him, you know, he's little, he got, you know, he gets sidetracked sometimes, but no matter what was going on, we started calling and working birds through the morning. When it got to be 9:30, 10 o'clock, you know, Waylon would turn around just like any grown man that's been duck hunting all his life. And he'd have one hand leaned up against that tree and his face up next to that tree, and he's peeking around to the right to find the birds when they swing over the hole, and he's peeking around to the left when they make a swing out when they're setting up to fall in. And that's nothing that I could have ever taught him. And that, it's just, he realized what was going on, and he didn't, you know, yeah, sure, a time or two, he got loud. He was, you know, what's going on? What's happening? Or there's some ducks or whatever. But I don't know. Seeing that in him and seeing him react to it in that kind of way, he never asked to go home. He never asked what we were doing next. I mean, sure, he got tired, especially that second day. He got tired and asked if we'd go for a boat ride, you know. But it was just never – he was just there having a good time. And he was enjoying the Tweety birds and the dogs and the ducks. And it didn't matter to him whether ducks fell when we pulled the trigger. And it didn't matter to me either. And I'm dead serious. It was a 1,000-mile round trip for me. I pulled the trigger twice. I killed one hen mallard and I missed a greenhead. And that was the only shooting I did. And I left my gun hanging right there on the tree. I didn't care. But it absolutely relit a fire for me. That I'm really looking forward to seeing grow. And seeing Waylon be able to grow, in the hunting community in his own little way, it's a lot of fun. I don't know what else to say about it. It was a very, very, very special trip in a lot of ways. To see something different, to be with new people, and to see Waylon react to it the way he did, you know, I can't ask for any more.
Should have one of the future videos while you were out there. You could have your kids telling about your angry stomach issues on one of those future videos.
It was special.
I caught a lot of heck about Taylor, and Taylor did. I told her to say, I will tell people on this podcast, I told her to say butterball because I knew it would
make
Rob
video
say
there.
To say butterball. But she really did shoot a buffalo head with a BB gun one day in the head on her first hunt while we were drafting. So that was true. And then the part about Ann Fleming say on her first turkey hunt where I don't know what I ate the night before, but woo, I lost the socks that day, both pairs. I mean, both socks.
Both socks, yep.
And she remembers it.
Oh man! Well,
they hear me talking about Rob Kroom or Ramsey Russell and all these people, and they know their names, and that's how they came up with them. There was no coaching involved except for the saying butterball in those videos. Now they're not eligible to win, but it lit a little bit of a fire for people to make their own videos, and I thought they did well.
Yeah, so, I did too. They were great.
But anyway, hey, look, I am in Missouri. I said I was going to release the winners of the future video contest today. It's probably going to be tomorrow or Thursday when those are released. We had some great videos that were posted on Duck South. I appreciate everybody that participated in this. Look, the podcast may be a little light this week. My mom is having surgery, and then we've got our district-wide 4-H. I know y'all are sick of hearing goats today, but goat show that we are participating in. So don't be mad if they're a little bit light. We've got a lot going on, I do, this week to stop and record podcasts. So anyway, Josh, I've enjoyed it, but we have got to get to Mondays, but it's Tuesday with Rob now. All right, guys, like I told you, it's the beginning of the podcast. It is Monday. Well, it's actually Tuesday, but now you get tired of that line. But none other, Mr. Kroom is joining me. Rob, how are you?
Everything's good. Just getting ready for February. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I got everything lined up. February taxidermy season is going to be insane.
Best line of the whole video, Friday. Absolutely made the video.
Well, I mean, it is what it is, Rocky. I mean, getting ready.
I want you to know something before we jump off into this. I want you to know something. I did not tell Taylor to say Rob Kroom. The only thing that I did coach her into saying was butterball. And yes, she did actually shoot a butterball with a BB gun on her first hunt in the head.
I love it.
But she hears me talk about Rob Kroom all the time. And before we started filming, she said, I said, who are you going to say? She said, Rob Kroom. I hear you talk about him all the time.
I love it. I love it. I have a new hero.
So I wanted you to know that, you know, like I said, there was no, the only coaching that was involved was the butterball. So tell me about the weekend.
It was good. We've been loaded up for 2 weeks. Tried to get me a deer Friday afternoon, I believe it was. Got out the stand, saw me a couple of big old cows with horns out there. A couple of them were pretty good shooters. I couldn't get a shot off, and I got back to camp. I posted that video, and I got a bunch of messages. Apparently, rifle season was closed. I had no idea. So, I didn't kill one, for the record. Anybody listening that wants to turn me in, I did not shoot.
Did you wear the majestic coat?
Yeah. Yeah, of course I did.
How many times? I mean, I'm saying you've worn that twice. One, and that's not counting the one for the picture. Have you worn it twice?
I think I've worn it actually twice, and I've worn my socks twice, my Chirpy and Jake socks. I don't want to wear the coloring off of them. I'm afraid if I wash them too many times, the color will wash off.
It's got to be a special occasion for you to wear that hoodie.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody called the shop the other day asking if we had any for sale.
Oh, God. Do you get random calls like that when people, you know, see that? We know how the Greasem outfitters, you still get calls for guided hunts, but do you get calls when you make posts like that with the hoodies?
Every now and again, yeah. Actually, for the record, on Thursday, I got a text message from a 601 number, as we all know where that is, asking if I still had the boat for sale. And I said, what boat? Because I've got, like, you know, 40 of them on the lot. And he says, the 2015 War Eagle, and that was the end of that conversation.
You know, your name came up last night. I'm up here with Missouri Mallards, Andy Solomon, and Travis. I call him Travis Cox. But anyway, your name came up last night, and he said, man, that's probably the best thing to ever happen to you and Duck South is Rob Kroom. I said, you know, at first I had my reservations about it, but ever since then, it has been awesome.
What a union and bond we have.
I mean, just a video Friday. Good night, man. Jeez. I can't think that fast. I would have had to record that video that you did on Friday. I would have had to record it like maybe minimum 16 times.
Well, on that one, I had a couple of my buddies there with me, and I did have to record it 3 times. Because there was there's a little giggling going on, and I got a little sidetracked. But anyway, everybody was concerned with the fact that deer's rifle season was out. And I don't know anything about deer hunting, so I didn't know it was out. I was just out there trying to kill me a big mooey with some big horns on there. I got a sportsman's license. I mean, I got the annual. Yeah, I can kill anything there.
You know, one video that hadn't been talked about was one I saw that you posted that it looked like you walked across dry land with the boat.
Yeah, there wasn't much water there.
You know, nobody said anything about that video, and you just walked that boat across dry land in between two bodies of water, it looked like.
Yeah, there was a little, there's a real big high spot, as you can see in the video, and then there was another high spot on the other side of the boat. And the reason we were even on the other side is because there was a beaver dam right there. And I was like, man, I think I could just jump that. Then we'll be on the other side. And Ben was like, well, how are we going to get back? I said, I ain't thought about that yet. So he said, well, I'm going to stand up here, and you just do whatever you think you're going to do, and I'll be right here. I started thinking about it. I got about 50 yards from him. I turned around. I said, video this. He said, what for? I said, I'll show you. So anyway, we made it to where we were going. The ride back was interesting, but those things are some incredible motors and machines, I'll tell you that.
Well, I saw the big announcement from Tony yesterday. I'm waiting on yours. Tony's going to have a camera crew following him around every step of the way next year. And I'm waiting on the announcement from Greasem. Rumors going around.
Well, I've got some calls in to Dawson Leak and all Spencer's cameraman, but he's got them so wrapped up. They're trying to find me some Sea Donkey cameramen, you know, that can help me out. But as soon as we get that wrapped up, it's going to be on. Hell, I don't know why we'd start next year. I think we need to start at turkey season. Just go through the whole thing. I mean, why wait?
That would be absolutely priceless.
Yeah, I can get my journal out and start scribbling in there like Spencer does. You can't read my writing, but, I mean, I'll do it.
So you're a messy writer.
Yeah, I don't write really well. A lot of people can't read it. I can read it, but nobody else can.
You still writing cursive?
No. I pretty much do the big block letters now. All caps, everything.
So you're screaming to everybody you write something to.
Yes. I can't write anything that my kids read because that would be totally screw them up. So I forgot what they call the condition I have, but trust me, it could be way worse. So did I tell you?
Hold on. I'm promoting this. Anybody listening to this that has a camera crew, I'm saying that you could have the number one hit online following Rob Krumerell. I'm predicting it right now. If you were to put yourself out there and just say, hey, you know, I want to make a name for myself, I think it'd be unbelievable.
I mean, like 2 weeks ago, I threw a tire off a trailer and it passed me on the highway going about 75, right down the middle, right down the yellow stripe. And then I broke two keys off the mud motor last week, lost the kill switch, almost got thrown out of the boat. I was wearing my safety vest. Thank you, Freddie. Let's see, what else happened? Oh, yeah, I backed my boat into my taillight of my truck, and then I ran my truck down the side of that trailer. This is all like this. I'm not talking about like a year's worth. I'm talking about like just recently, just that I can remember.
You know, This is how I thought this up. So I'm watching Jed and Jed and the Southern Prairie Outfitters. That one's being produced by Dawson. He's following them around this year, and I'm watching that one. I said, "Good Lord! I mean, this is good." I said, "But can you imagine Rob Kroom doing this?"
I've been down there with him the last few weeks,
and what I mean by that is. And it goes back to what we originally first started talking about. You know, a lot of this stuff, it takes you one time on camera to get it right. You put it out there and boom, it's done. And that's why I think, man, it'd be great.
Yeah, I don't think I get stage fright.
I wouldn't say so at all.
I don't hold much back, but yeah, I think it would be pretty good. I mean, even if you did some seasonal stuff, I think it'd be pretty good. I need to call Jake. Jake will do it. Well, I need to get Jake involved in this somehow. He'll do it. He could edit out my cuss words. That's going to be one of the major problems we're going to have. I have a potty mouth.
I think with it being on social media, you could put the warning in there.
Well, if that was the case, it would make it even probably funnier, I guess. I don't know.
I've always said that you could shoot a reality show from the right duck camp or deer camp. and it'd be the most watched thing on television.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be really good.
It'd be better it'd be really than the good. Real World or any of the other stuff we used to watch as teenagers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would relate to so many people, too. They would get it. Like if you watch Big Brother, like, I couldn't be in a house with those people for 60 days or 6 weeks or whatever it is. I'd go crazy. I mean, I'd ask to leave the first day. I'd be like, I can't handle this. It's too much. But you get me on some good duck hunting screw-ups, you know, I mean, I could sit here and talk about things I've destroyed and broken just in the last 3 months all day for, I don't know, 8 hours. Speaking of things that are broken, do you think Patrick's okay? I think him and Jesse kind of have like a broken relationship right now.
I got in late on that conversation last night, and
I've heard people argue over who's killed more ducks, but I've never heard people argue over who's hunted the least. It's taking the country by storm. Instead of arguing about who's killed more and who's got the better spot, you argue about who's hunted less.
I was very late to this conversation. You got to understand in this group conversation that we're in, holy crap, Rob gives Patrick Brower the hardest time. And it all began with the Jones hat picture that made the Drake Instagram account.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, I mean, that Jones hat, man, I mean, holy mackerel, what a look.
Oh, man. And so, anyway, he has not let up on Patrick Brower since then. And it's pretty good sometimes. I feel for Patrick. I know that Patrick knows you're joking about a lot of it, but gosh, dog, it's good.
No, I mean, you know, he starts it half the time. That's all. I'm just letting him and Jesse just have it out. Because I'm not getting involved in this one. But when I saw them arguing over who duck hunted the least this year, I was like, whoa.
Well, I hadn't been able to catch up on it yet because they forgot what cell towers are in southeast Missouri where I am right now. So I'm working off a satellite phone right here. The last cell tower I saw was in Blytheville, Arkansas.
It won't be hard to catch up. It's all right there for the taking. It's great stuff. I mean, I'm just proud to be in that group. I still don't know all the people in it, but if you're listening right now, shoot me a message and say hello.
Oh. All right, so what's the plan for the rest of the weekend? When are you heading out?
We are. I tell you what, I decided the other day that, you know, enough is enough. And, you know, I've been hunting a whole lot, needed a few days off. I was getting a little grumpy. I know that surprises you, but anyway, I was getting a little grumpy and decided that my kids got a doubleheader basketball game Saturday. So I'm going to go tomorrow and come back Friday and then watch that doubleheader. And then I'm going to go straight back and hunt Sunday through the end. And we'll see how that works out for the last two
weeks. The last week should be phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's not, then I mean, whatever. But it should be good.
Well.
You know, St. Louis is getting 3 inches of snow Saturday, and the high is 12 Sunday, and it's like, I don't know, 15 or something the next day. So I don't know how they couldn't move down a little bit. But anyway, regardless if they do or they don't, I'm going to be there because you can't kill them on the couch. And, you know, We're just going to see what happens.
I do
think it's going to be good. I'm excited, and we still have water everywhere, so I'm going to be in the woods and chase them around. And they have showed up at some places. So, I mean, everybody told me today, they came in the shop, they're like, yeah, went down to my spot and killed 3, and I'm done for the year. And I was like, well, at least you're saving some shells for next year. And all these goobers talking about the duck numbers being down, I'm like, man, if the numbers are down, just think of how many ducks there'll be next year. I mean, you know, there's always two sides of the coin.
That's what I said. But I will say this about this part of the world. From the reports that I'm hearing, even though Southeast Missouri, they're not killing a lot of ducks and hadn't been for a while, Tennessee, it seems like the birds are staying on that side of the Mississippi River, and they're doing pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's all correct, but I know a group last week that killed pretty good numbers, and one of their hunts, they killed 5 blue-winged teal. So what does that tell you?
It's not good.
And we did really good the last 2 weeks, and I mean they've been paired up for 10 days, and I mean, you know, it's,
well, I will say this for those of you that don't know this about Rob, but outside of the 3 city sewage lagoons that he has rented for Greasem, his jam up spots, he has one, better not say this, unbelievable flooded timber spot that he goes to in worst case scenarios that he hammers them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I plant rice in it, and then I overseed it, you know, about November 1st and put some molasses and corn and stuff out. So I get them held in there pretty good, and then I go whack them for about 3 or 4 days.
Well,
it's pretty good. I mean, you know, we take 15, 18 guns in there, you know, cycle people in and out. Pretty good.
But I know you don't like to go in there because you have to, I mean, you have to stoop down and shoot mallards in there. So it's not what your people are looking for as clients.
No, not at all. We had one field right by our pecan flats on Thursday or Friday. And I swear on anything, we had 800 butterballs in one field. It was the most majestic thing I've ever seen. We shot and shot and shot and shot, and they just kept coming back. It was amazing. There was like 800, and then it went down to 500, and then it went down to 300, which is still, I mean, it was a beautiful thing to see that. I haven't been that happy in a long time. One hunt, we killed like 22 butterballs, 4 mallards, and 2 canvasbacks. So, I mean, how do you cannot beat that. I didn't even want the mallards. I wish we hadn't even shot. The guy shot the wrong duck. But.
Oh, well, I've got a roll. Good luck to you this weekend. How many clients you got in this weekend?
I think we have 5. One guy came down with malaria, and he can't show up, so we only got 5. So we have 1 opening if you want to hunt with a bunch of dudes you don't know.
What's that number again?
Fun. Like I said, 501-833-1057. We still got that one field with all those butterballs, and since I'm taking this little hiatus for a couple of days for the basketball, the twins have the big double header that they ought to be thick back in that field. They got plenty of food out there, and it ought to be a butterball beatdown if there ever was one. It was amazing the other day. I'm not an outlaw, but if I ever wanted to be an outlaw, it would have been on that butter down beat down the other day. I wanted to kill 150 of them. I got so excited. I've never been so excited in my life. I mean, they just make me happy. I don't know why. I mean, other people act like I'm weird, but I'd rather shoot them than a mallard any day. I mean, hell, anybody can kill a mallard. So they fly like, you know, 15 miles an hour, just cruising the size of a freaking B-52 in your decoys. Get on a butterball hunt and try and hit them flying at 107. Let's see how good you are.
It must be that way because the last time I checked, the shelves were filled with mallard calls and people blowing mallard calls, but you rarely see somebody blowing a butterball call.
It takes some practice to get it down. It also takes some practice to get that canvasback call down, but once you hear it and get that distinct sound, you've got it. I'm just hoping those butterballs stick around. I hope I didn't hurt them too bad and shoot them out. I tried to rest them a couple of days, you know, but anyway, I can't wait to get back on them. I can't wait.
Well, good luck to y'all this weekend. I've enjoyed it, and I will talk to you at the first part of next week. We'll talk on Monday because I'll be on the road all the way headed out to Oklahoma, so I'll be on the road for a while. But good luck to you this weekend. Thank you again, Rob. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.